Oh, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. If you think it's butter, but it's not, it's chiffon.
Nestled deep inside the Rocky Mountains.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Remasculate.
Pod people and inhabitants of the planet Earth. It is I, your pineapple planting leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew.
I have a question.
Yeah.
You say good morning on all of your podcasts.
Uh-huh.
When was the last time you posted the podcast in the morning?
Why do you have to start a fight?
I'm not starting
Why do you have to come
fight?
Down here and start a fight?
If Why don't you say good day? Or what do they say in Hawaii? Aloha.
Aloha. Or that's how they say it.
Something that's less...
Good morning?
Yeah.
All right. I will change it because you and a couple other people have
I'm not the only one.
Someone else did.
High five a couple other people.
Right. I got one this afternoon that said, the show keeps getting better and better, but later and later. Now I have to ignore my wife and kids, but you're the good excuse. Something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're breaking families up.
I know. Breaking families up. That's what we do here at Remasculate.
Let's not put that on our t-shirt. We need to make t-shirts.
I'm checking on one.
Oh.
I talked to Lauren Lee, our t-shirt
mm-hmm.
guy, about getting one made that says, "And alcohol was involved." That's all it will say.
Oh, that's awesome.
And alcohol was involved. But Lauren would say, should it be like alcohol was in big letters, like alcohol was involved or alcohol was involved? What should the, or should it just be all the same type and style across the front of the t-shirt?
I think it should be all the same. But maybe we should, like, ask the people that might
buy the shirt.
Buy them.
What do you want? What do you want? What do you want in a t-shirt? Because we think it's funny that and alcohol was involved. Because every news story.
Right.
You know,
so Lauren's listening?
He has been, yeah.
Yay.
So,
hi, Lauren.
You know, like today I reported on the couple that tried to do the exorcism.
Yes, in Walmart.
In Walmart. And alcohol
was involved.
See, that's...
Yes.
Every one of those stories.
Maybe there should be a comment. And alcohol was involved.
Yeah. So let us know what you think. Steve Mudflap McGrew. Well, no, what's my email? MudflapMcGrew@gmail.com. We are so professional here in the studio.
Put up a poster with our contact information to remind us.
Just like
I used
a real
to do
studio.
That when I worked in radio.
The call
I
letters,
forget.
The whole...
What's the phone number? Oh, crap, I just gave out my personal
yeah.
number.
And
don't
what are you
that.
Supposed to say? The freshest country music in town. Whatever the, you know,
right.
the say.
No talk, never mind.
More talk. Less talk, more music. Less talk. Less entertainment. They don't ever say that, do they?
No.
They don't put the honesty into it. Mm-mm. Less talk. More commercials.
Oh, look, two songs back to back. Holy smokes, it's a crazy time.
Wow, that's
Marte.
Like that's like Pandora.
Pandora.
Yeah, I found out today, I don't know if you saw that I posted, that I am now on Slacker.com. Slacker Radio.
You are?
Yeah.
Wow, how'd that happen?
I don't know. I don't know if it's there. You can have a Steve McGrew comedy channel, just like on iHeart and Pandora.
Wow.
Just accidentally discovered it when
Do you get
I loaded
paid
the app.
For that?
Yes, I will make.
Yay!
So anybody that wants to go and listen to comedy on Slacker.com or Pandora.com or iHeartRadio.com, all of those will help me pay the bills.
And somebody said yesterday that they were having problems listening to Slacker Radio. It kept crashing.
The app
so
did.
Maybe we should remind them at other places they could listen to us.
They could listen to us at podbean.com, iTunes, and another one called podbay.fm, I think is the other site. But
that's a lot more
that.
Complicated than iTunes.
iTunes, very simple and
yep.
free.
There you
and
go.
And you subscribe and it helps move us up the chart. So, ta-da, there you go.
All right. You know what I want to do today?
What?
I want to find out about you.
What do you want to know?
I want to know how you became a comic. I've heard the story, but I don't know that everybody has. So you started out how old were you?
Interview me,
yes.
Huh?
How old were you when you hit the stage for the first time?
I was 24 years old.
Okay. What motivated you to do that?
I was going through a divorce and was hanging out at the comedy club. And I saw the other comics, and I thought, wow, you mean you can get on stage and make fun of people? I think I could do this.
So you just hopped on stage or an open mic
night? I came back on open mic night, and the rest is history. Because I was the cartoonist for the Houston newspaper at the time. And then I just thought, well, you know, I don't want to be, you know, 80 years old and wonder if I could have made it as a comic. And so I took a leap of absence from the day job. And I said, if I don't pay my bills in a year, I'll come back to being a cartoonist. But I've always paid my bills. So I've never had to go back again.
So what club was that you started at?
That was the Comedy Workshop in Houston.
In Houston,
and
yes.
I started with Sam Kennison and Bill Hicks and all the Texas Outlaws. We all basically started together about 78, 79.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, how old is that fucker?
I didn't ask years, but okay.
I can cut that out. I'll bleep it and let people guess.
There you go. And so you were working at that club for how long?
5 years, about 5 years, and then I moved here to Colorado and made this my home and home base and did stand-up out of here.
And where were you working?
Comedy Works here, and then I was doing all the improvs and Funny Bones. And
so you were traveling?
I was traveling.
And how old were you at this time, like 29?
29,
30. Wow.
Yeah. No, 27.
27.
28.
28.
Somewhere around in there.
And you were traveling and...
Mm-hmm. I was working 35 to 40 weeks a year.
Wow. Wow.
So you ready for that? Because that's what's about to happen now that I've left the radio job.
Yay.
You'll be happy to see me, see? That's
what I will. I will always be happy to see you.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Right. Right.
Isn't that what they...
Right. Okay, so you were working... You were living in Colorado, traveling all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And then when did you expand your... career from that point, just being an on-the-road comic? Was it Star Search?
Yeah, Star Search was in 90 or 91.
And how old were you at that time?
I'd have to do the math, and I really don't know.
So were you on the road a long time before? And then how did you get on Star Search?
They had been asking me a couple times. They saw me in L.A., and I had turned it down
at
a couple
the Ice
of
House?
Times. No, at the Improv.
Oh, okay.
In Hollywood. So I had... turned them down, and I finally decided to do it because they told me the names of some comics that were on the show that had agreed to do the show. And I thought, well, if I lose to these comics, I'll be okay.
Right.
Because I had watched the show before, and they had a lot of bad comics on. And I thought, I'm already out here making my living.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be on TV and lose to a suck-ass comic. That's a bad reputation. You know what I mean?
Right.
So they had some bigger name comics, and I thought, if I lose to them, I will be okay. And I actually, one of the people that I beat on Star Search... Mm-hmm. is Louis C.K., who now has, you know, the big show on TV. And so
everything happens for a reason,
you know.
So how was that Star Search experience for those of us plain Janes that have never been through something like that?
It's like any other competition show where you film it and then you're not allowed to tell anybody anything.
Wow.
Like you film ahead of time and people go, good luck, I hope you win next week. And you're like, this is the week I lost. You know, so you're like, oh, thank you.
Dang.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I do too. I hope I win. That happened, you know.
Right. But that actually helped your career progress a little bit,
right.
Correct?
And the other thing I thought was funny about Star Search was I would always get recognized from Star Search. People would go, you're the guy from Star Search.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know where I got recognized? I always got recognized in like Target and Walmart. But if I was at the mall or like Macy's or Nordstrom's, no one ever said, hey, you're the guy from Star Search.
Oh.
Star Search had a huge audience. That was a lot.
I remember. It was Ed McMahon, Star
mm-hmm.
Search,
Ed McMahon,
right?
Star Search.
So you met Ed McMahon?
Yeah.
How was that?
He was a very nice man.
Aw, yeah. I'm jealous.
Yeah, he's like your granddad.
I was just going to say, he seemed like a good grandfather type.
Mm-hmm. So then from some Star Search, then I got more exposure in Hollywood. And that's right after that is when I got the tour with Dolly Parton, and I went out.
Right, and what did you do with Dolly Parton?
I was her opening act,
mm-hmm.
and then I came back out during the show, and I sang as Elvis.
Is there any video of this?
Somewhere there is. You've seen the pictures.
Right, I've seen the pictures, but I want to see that.
So I had Dolly had me an Elvis costume and when I had the big belt and a super high collar, like almost as tall as my head.
Wow.
And I came out and we did like this little thing together, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how long did you tour with Dolly?
A year.
How was she?
She's a sweetheart. She is exactly what people think she is. You know?
Really?
Yeah, she is. That's, if anybody's a star and you wonder why, she is the epitome of why. She's personable. She's talented. She's never rude to her fans. Some of those times that I saw her, like, just be mobbed at the airports or shows and things, and she'd be like, I'll sign your stuff. Just keep walking with me. Just keep going. Like, you know, not being rude, like, I have to get on my bus, you know.
Right.
Like, no, just keep walking. Whoever gets the signature by the time we get there, you know.
Wow, that's awesome.
Really, really cool. Yeah, and she mentioned, I got a mention in the back of her book, her autobiography. She does all of her thank yous. Did I ever show you that?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, so that was really cool. That, you know, Dolly's book, and there's my name.
Aww.
Yeah.
And what did you do after the Dolly Parton tour?
Then I worked for Wynonna Judd and the Beach Boys.
Wynonna's going to be in town this Friday.
She is?
You had me put it on my calendar. I think.
If she is, we definitely should go.
So no movie date night. Wynonna Judd. I didn't know you worked with Wynonna. Okay, maybe I thought I knew the story. Okay, so let's go back to the story. So you worked with Dolly, and then you worked with Wynonna. What? And you were just the comic opener?
Yeah.
How was
because
that?
It was great. Wynonna was a sweetheart. And
she seems a bit diva-ish. I watched the Judds on the O Network.
That was just bad. I think they took bad advice from people that said, we need drama, so y'all overact and act like y'all are mad at each other, and, you know. Because you could just.
But she got married and her family didn't even attend.
Well, you know,
on the same property that her family lives.
Well, things could go bad later on.
Right. You've made fun of her as the Kool-Aid man or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's you know, got the orange. Her hair is like bright reddish orange.
And her tan is kind of orange.
Yeah. And she likes to wear the colors, the bright colors. Or she did before. I don't know what she's doing now. So.
I don't know.
But I love her. She's a sweetheart.
And how long did you tour with her?
On and off for about a year.
Wow.
We just did a lot of dates. I wasn't actually on her tour. See, with Dolly, I was on the tour. I lived on the bus. But with Wynonna, I just would be like, okay, we're doing a weekend in Vegas. And now we're doing a weekend, you know, and then two nights it was that kind of deal.
Nice. And what did you do after Wynonna?
I did some dates with the Beach Boys.
Holy cow! I don't know this story at all. You need to write a book.
And
just
then
for your
I did
girlfriend
some
to know.
Shows with Jerry Lee Lewis, and that was a great one. When I worked with Jerry Lee, it was his birthday. Well, it was soon to be his birthday. It was his birthday week. And they rolled a cake out on stage right after the end of the show and said, "We wanted to celebrate your birthday now, since you won't be here on your birthday." Well. They just meant he wouldn't be at that date. He got kind of upset that they were like, what do you mean I won't be here? And he blew a gasket. And we went back to the dressing room. And we were all in the dressing room. And he started throwing stuff in the dressing room and was screaming and at the people in the room. And my now ex-wife was there. And she's like, we need to get out. We need to get out of this. And I go, no. You are watching what you always read about.
Right.
You are watching a Jerry Lee Lewis meltdown.
Wow.
So that was really cool. And he called me killer. That's what he watched my act one night. And after the set, he goes, man, that was killer. I'm glad to be working with you. The killer called me killer. So,
that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And the other good story that I have from a celebrity that I've always cherished is I did a show with Don Rickles, and he's the Don of comedy. I mean, he is the epitome of comedy. And you gave me the face like, I don't really know who Don Rickles is.
I don't.
But you should. Those who don't, Google. Don Rickles really is. He worked with Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra, and he's part of that.
Wow.
That
the
whole,
Rat Pack kind
yeah,
of
he's
extended.
Kind of that group connected. Uh-huh. And he came up to me after the show. He was walking by the dressing room, and he came in, and he stopped, and he said, you are a very funny man. And he turned to the now ex-wife and said, you need to do whatever it takes to keep him in the business. This guy's got a future.
Wow.
And I've always remembered, it's like, I got a kiss on the, you know, I got to kiss the ring of the Don, the godfather of comedy.
Oh,
you
wow.
know, I got the blessing. And, you know.
That's exciting.
And now, here we are in the
we didn't jump to here. What did you do?
And now, here we are in the basement, a studio, doing my podcast.
Is this story going to make you sad?
I'm going to start crying any second.
I'm, like, going to be like Barbara Walters.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Okay, so after all of that,
things
what
were
did
going
you
good, going well, and then I wrote a TV show, a pilot for a TV show.
Right.
And got Disney interested in it, and they bought it. It was called Trailer Trash.
Uh-huh.
It was like Cheers set in a trailer park.
Nice.
And
kind of like King of the Hill, but in a trailer park?
Kind of, sort of.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then Disney liked it, and they put me with another guy named Alan Moskowitz, who had been a writer-producer on Knott's Landing and Small Wonder.
Okay.
I remember Small Wonder, the robot girl. It was okay. A comic about a robot girl.
Okay.
And it was going well, and then the guy who was my boss at Disney got dumped, and they dropped all of his projects.
Dang it.
I lost out on that at that time.
But that wasn't meant to be, so what happened after that?
That's when I went back on the road and started doing comedy in England a lot, about that time.
And how was that?
Very good.
You were well received, I'm sure.
Well received. I did their version of the Tonight Show, the Des O'Connor show, and I did a couple of TV shows. I had my own hour-long special on British TV, and that was 1999.
Wow.
And then I toured Australia. I did the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
How long were
you
in Australia?
I was there a month.
Wow.
And that went very well. And I thought things were going great. Well, it was about that time that the now ex-wife said, I can't take you being gone all the time. You need to not be gone. Take a radio job. So I took a radio job.
And that's where you ended up at KYGO?
KYGO. Mm-hmm. And then the first year that I was in radio, I won the Country Music Award, the
right.
CMA Award.
Which is huge.
Which is massive. I won that the first year, and that was for Best Morning Personality.
Nice.
And that was me and Kelly Ford and Jonathan, my ex-partner.
Jonathan Wilde.
Yeah. So then I won two more CMA Awards.
And then you left KYGO.
Yeah. Then I got the Marconi Award.
Which is like...
That's the Academy Award of Radio.
Right.
Yeah. So I win that, and then KYGO... decides that I was a budget cut.
Right.
You know, that things just need to be different. And
so then you toured a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and then you went to another local radio station.
That
we're not going to mention.
No,
because
they don't need the publicity of any way, shape, or form.
And you were there for a few years.
2 years.
And now...
And now I'm going back on the
road. You're happy again, and
I
you're going
so
back
happy.
On the road, and... You need to hit some more towns than your usual hangouts.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to make that happen? I don't want you gone more, but you do. But like everyone's like, "Will you ask Steve to do this?" Okay, I'm just the girlfriend. I'm not his booking.
I see the emails. Like, can you come to St. Louis? When are you coming
to
Washington State?
You need to go to St. Louis.
How can I get you?
You need to go, like, all the major markets want to see you.
Well, I've been talking to Cletus T. Judd, and he wants to tour. He'd like to put together like the Blue Collar comic
right.
did, like the tour like that, like did a couple of other comics and do a tour. So we've talked about that. And then there's a couple other guys. I talked to John Reap about doing, John won Last Comic Standing.
But I bet you could do it, like just you, couldn't you?
No, you actually need a name. That's why it worked with Foxworthy.
Mm.
Because you didn't know who, I mean, people don't know now, but nobody knew who Larry the Cable Guy was
right.
or Ron White. But Foxworthy had, you might be a redneck.
If.
So they had a name that took them all out on tour, and it made them all famous. So that's what, you have to have one person.
So the future is bright and shining, and we'll see what happens. And everybody heard me. I told him, you want him everywhere.
Go.
Go.
You heard her. She said go.
No,
get
I didn't say go.
I want you out of this house.
No.
I want you out on the road. You need to go out there and make money, because if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Mama's happy when you're home, but people are demanding you, and they're emailing me to do it. And so I'm like, I'm a people pleaser. I'm like, okay, I'll tell him.
Okay, well, you told me.
I did.
And that is the story of Steve Mudflap McGrew.
And that's where we are today. And much more to be written. It's
actually,
going to be
amazing.
Actually,
there's a lot more. Yeah, some more along the line was road stories and why I quit drinking. Waking
that's
going to
be
a
whole other podcast. Don't
tell that story.
No. And then the Seattle incident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's all kind of road stories.
We should make this like a Thursday story time.
And now it's time for one of those.
Right.
And now it's time. Bedtime stories with Steve.
Right. I think you have an interesting story. It's, the normal person hasn't gone through what you've gone through. The normal person hasn't worked with Dolly Parton. The normal person hasn't worked with Wynonna Judd or Jerry Lee Lewis. Or
you didn't. I don't think you, when we first started hanging out.
I had no idea.
You had no idea. And I don't think you really believed half of the stuff.
When you date a lot of shady people. And
you started
people
to say shitty people, didn't you?
People lie to you. So, I'm friends with Joan Bonzel of the Oak Ridge Boys. Bologna and cheese. No, you're not. And then the next thing I know, we're going to a baseball game with the Oak Ridge Boys. I was like, huh, he doesn't lie. I'm going to keep him forever.
And then you saw the stars that were hanging around and texting. But it's still weird to you when I go, oh, that's such and such. Hey, we were in a condo together and say, look, you're like, you know them? Yep.
Right.
Because a lot of people that are stars today started at the exact same time that I did in the comedy club. We worked in the comedy clubs together. We either worked together or we passed in the night. It was a small world in the 80s of the comics.
It's crazy. Maybe you should write a book. I want to see you sit down and actually write a book. No, you need to have someone write
for
you.
Are you saying I don't have the skills to write a book?
No, you don't have the attention span to sit there and type and type and type and type and type.
That's true. I could just sit and talk and tell the stories and then let somebody
ghostwriter.
Probably much like Adam Carolla has done with his books, where he tells his story.
But you like
his
books.
I won't say that. I do. I haven't got the new one yet. He's got a new one called I'm Not Taco Bell Material or something like that. Who is not Taco Bell material?
Snooty.
Listen to the dog. She gets so upset when we come down here.
She is getting out of hand.
She is out of hand.
She barks at everything. If we're not touching her, she's whining.
I think she learned that from you.
Well. Means a lot.
If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Well, you know what you need to do. Just keep me happy. There we go.
Well, do you have some news for us after the end of this glorious podcast?
I thought that was interesting. I hope I didn't bore everybody. I think it's an interesting story.
Because this is the story of who you're listening to.
I mean,
the people. Because I know people tune in. People do know who I am. But then again, I got an email the other day from somebody that just saw my Comedy Central special. They aired it this week again. And somebody was like, I just saw you. You're my new favorite comic. I'm like,
and you're like,
new.
I've lost like 30 pounds since that.
Then.
Yeah.
My hair is like down past my shoulders, which it wasn't then. And
right. That's very superficial. But that's what I notice when I look at your Comedy Central special. I've
lost like 30
pounds.
You're
a lot hotter now.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Do my intro. Let's do some news.
And now, here's Miss Thing with All Things Considered.
Thank you.
Do you like the new outro that I've been playing for you?
I do.
It's a little cartoony, but I thought it was funny.
It is funny. Cartoony is funny. IKEA. We love IKEA. We've not been to IKEA. We're avoiding IKEA because those Swedish meatballs have amazing calories that we don't need, right?
They're amazing tasting, and they're cheap.
Well, IKEA is continuing on their path of world domination. The Swedish home furnishings company recently began brewing its own beer. Now, it hopes to provide affordable lodging for budget-conscious travelers. That's right. IKEA is now a hotel business.
Mm-hmm. At the same place? Like at the store? Are they going to...
Well, the company says it's interested in building at least 100 budget-design hotels, cheap boutique hotels, throughout Europe, hoping to cash in on one of the fastest-growing markets in the hotel industry. The hotels won't use IKEA's name or be run by the company, which we can only hope means the furniture won't require guest assembly.
But I could see that being a really cool-looking hotel with their
setup.
Right, because
they have great design.
Well, the boutique hotel is the new hotel. That's actually what we are going to stay in when we go to Hawaii. Is a boutique hotel. It's where they take a smaller hotel and really deck it out and make it really cool and hip. Hmm. But they don't have to charge as much because it's not this massive property.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So one day we'll go to Europe and see an IKEA hotel.
Yeah, they check in. Here's your room key and your screwdriver. And have a good night.
Right.
Look, I can't put this shit together. I'm tired. I'm just going to sleep on the floor. This bullshit.
Where did that come from?
I don't know.
That was pretty awesome. Christmas Story 2 went straight to DVD. Did you even know there was a Christmas Story 2?
No, I knew they did a follow-up years ago, but did they actually did a...
Yeah, it's been made into a sequel. A Christmas Story 2 is going straight to DVD and Blu-ray October 30th. It's available just days before the debut of the Broadway musical based on the original story of a little 40s era Ralphie and his Christmas time woes.
Gene Shepard wrote it from a book called In God We Trust.
You know your stuff.
I read the book.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something.
Uh-huh.
Don't break up with me. And I say that jokingly, but I've never seen the Christmas Story all the way through.
How is that possible? They show it every Christmas 24/7.
I always fall asleep. One Christmas, I was stuck because of work, home, by myself, and I stayed in bed most of the day, and I remember dozing in and out. That's the closest I've ever been. But
Shoot your eye out! You'll shoot your eye out!
I remember the tongue on the pole, but I may have seen that in little...
clips and
yeah.
Parts.
And I remember the lamp.
The leg lamp is very fragile.
So this Christmas, we need to actually sit down and watch that.
And then follow it up with the new
on DVD.
Christmas Story 2.
But it's kind of sad that it went straight to DVD.
I know. Well, the original one wasn't a hit at the theater either. The original one didn't. It became a cult classic later on. A lot of good movies do that. They're too good at the time. People are like, I don't like it. And then they go, oh, wait, this really is a great movie.
What do you think a most recent occurrence of that happening was? You know, you're like a
I do love
movie,
my movies.
A movie nerd, but not in a bad way.
One that was that turned out to be a hit later.
Mm-hmm. Napoleon Dynamite?
Yeah.
Was that a hit in theaters? Because I didn't
did,
like
that
it
did
in theaters.
Well in the theaters, not great, but it became a cult classic later.
Right.
Know? Another one of those is not modern, but did do that, was the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Which I still haven't seen. Do we own that one?
No.
No.
I think you bought that. I think you did. I think you got
it at the thrift store.
At the thrift store the other day.
We need to watch that.
So, yeah, that was another one of those. It didn't do great, but then later on became a cult figure. Mm-hmm. And so another one was Point Blank, another movie called Point Blank with Keanu Reeves.
Hmm.
It was one of those that didn't do well, but yet now it's one of those cult classic that all the college kids know and love.
It's crazy how that happens.
Mm-hmm.
You're a snake person, right?
I hate them.
No, you are a snake person. You like snakes, right?
No.
I thought you liked snakes. Didn't you have a pet snake?
No, I have never
had a pet rat.
I had a pet rat. People feed rats to snakes. Why would I?
I don't know. I thought you were a snake
person.
No, I am not
a snake
person. You used to joke
with
me about getting a snake, and they're
I did joke you, but
huge fear of mine. You haven't seen it yet. If I find a snake out in the wild, I'm walking along, you will see me. Oh my gosh, I would probably piss myself.
So if I bring,
can I say that word?
You can say fuck on here. Should I should I bring in a snake one day just
no,
to tease you?
No. Like, I'm getting fearful just thinking of the thought.
I might do that one day.
No.
I might wake you up Podcat, with a snake in my hand.
Podcat is my hero because when we were living in Missouri, we were staying in my grandma's basement, and I came home from work late one night. I turned on the basement light, and that's where Podcat stayed, and there was a dead snake that she had killed. She saved my life. It was a garter snake, but still, if that thing would have been crawling in my bedroom...
You might have had a heart attack. Way to go, Podcat.
Yeah, she rocks.
Did you see the picture of her working the board today?
I did. She's got skills.
Yeah. She just laid right on top of the mixing board.
You've taught her well. Mm. Anyway, snake time.
Yes.
A double record setting Burmese... Is that it? Burmese?
Mm-hmm.
Python has been found in the Florida Everglades. A 17 feet, 7 inches in length snake. The largest snake of its kind found in the state. And it was carrying a record 87 eggs. That's 87 little snakes.
87.
87 eggs. Scientists say the finding highlights how dangerously comfortable the invasive species has become in its new home.
Yeah. Do you know what happened? You know how they got out like that? Because they're not native to that area. When Hurricane one of the hurricanes went mm-hmm. through. I can't remember which one it was, but it demolished like pet stores and released all these snakes and stuff into the wild.
Oh.
Was it? Okay, what was? I'd have to look it up. I'd have to Google the hurricane, but that's the story of how all these snakes got loose, is when it came through and wiped out the stores, and then they're wild. But that's a massive snake.
Well, this story says that the snake was introduced to Florida by the exotic pet trade 3 decades ago
mm-hmm.
and is now one of the region's deadliest and most competitive predators.
Mm-hmm.
We're never going to Florida. Oh, my gosh.
They hang out of the tree. You'll look up and there'll be one hanging. They'll make a horror movie about this.
Oh, didn't they already? Anaconda? Stupid snake-fearing girl went and saw Anaconda. That was dumb.
Anaconda is not the same thing as a boa constrictor.
But it's a big-ass snake.
Whoa! She said big-ass snake. You are getting very comfortable here in this Remasculate studio. You're going to start talking about anal beads before it's all over.
Speaking of...
Yeah?
You sent me a story that you wanted to discuss.
I did. I found this one today, and I sent it to you because I know this is not... This wouldn't even be on your radar.
No.
But this was on...
It's the next big thing when it comes to tattoos.
Yay!
Where are women getting inked?
Where are they getting inked? Tattooed?
Yes.
I know because I sent you this story.
So go ahead and say it.
They're getting their butthole tattooed.
Anal tattoos are the next big thing, or at least that's what some people are saying after meeting a woman at the 17th annual South Florida Tattoo Expo, which was held in Florida last weekend.
The home of the big ass snake.
Yeah. Hmm. Anyway, she said it felt really, really good. She's 22 years old. She uh-huh. had that kind of tattoo done. One observer noted that the whole tattooing thing seemed pretty cool. In that region.
Watching or having it done?
Watching it, the whole experience seemed really cool. It's kind of a neat thing to do, he told a reporter from the New York Times. Users on social news sites were quick to pick up on the trend. Many appeared to disagree, however, that these type of tats are a good idea. And a few were able to stay away from the seemingly... bathroom humor that comes with the territory. I can't even say the word. Like, it feels wrong.
What feels wrong?
Saying the word.
What word?
Cricket.
Which one? You're the reporter? What's the word?
Anal.
And now say beads.
No.
And then I'll edit it together.
No.
And you'll sound like this. Anal bead.
So,
anal.
Would you get that part of your body tattooed?
No, I would
Why?
Not. And what would you have put on there?
I don't know.
I had a tattoo of a dingleberry put on my... What would you... I don't even know what you'd tattoo around there. Like a pirate's face? Like one eye or something?
It looks like it has been inscribed with her boyfriend's name.
Her present boyfriend or an ex-boyfriend?
It doesn't say ex, so I'm assuming present.
Oh, that would be horrible. And I can understand an ex. You might put an ex's name. Cause you could.
And then she came out and said that she had two guys' names on it. I bet she's not the most
stable.
Pure girl or stable. So that's the next big thing. I don't have any tattoos.
Mm-hmm. But the next follow-up will be, this is my prediction. Taint waxing.
Ew.
Yeah.
I think
Ryan Seacrest taint waxes. I don't know that as a fact.
Have a vagina?
Huh?
Doesn't he have a vagina?
No. Well, yeah. Juliana Huff.
Oh.
That's where I insult the yodel-a-dle-yodel-a.
Yeah. Podcat, cover your ears for this next story. An 8-year-old boy. Yep. Is in deep doo-doo with police and social services.
You went from anal tattooing to deep doo-doo. Continue.
I'm starting over.
Okay.
I need to focus. An 8-year-old boy is in deep doo-doo with police and social services for attempting to cook his neighbor's cat in the microwave.
Aww.
It's unclear what his intentions were. Perhaps he was angry and mistook the cat for a burrito. Or maybe the cat pulled a bad move and the microwave was its punishment. You know, I've heard about kids that do stuff like that to animals. Uh-huh. They end up being very
mass
bad
murders.
Adults.
That's what they say. That if you do torture an animal, that's the down the road of being a mass murderer.
Well, the owners of the cat were luckily around at the time of the attempted cat cooking and were able to pull the scared animal out before it died, though it was burned and could suffer from internal organ damage. Officials can't take criminal action against the boy because he's under the age of 10, but we're guessing he's going to be in a massive timeout.
Ooh.
How about a massive butt whooping?
Ass kicking. He needs a tattoo of an ass whooping.
A tattoo of an ass whooping.
He needs to have his little hiney just whooped bad, where it actually looks like a tattoo.
Right.
That's abuse. Don't you know that's abuse? Well, what he did to the cat was abuse.
I got spanked, and I, yeah.
And you didn't turn out freaky at all.
Right. Oh, after more than 50 years as one of country music's most beloved stars, George Jones is stepping away from the microphone.
Oh, this is...
Insert sadness right here.
This is his final tour, the grand tour?
The 80-year-old recently announced he will kick off the grand tour next year, which will be his long farewell to adoring fans. Come to Colorado!
Yes.
I didn't
one
mean
more
to yell.
Time. Step right up. Come on in.
I love that song. You can sing that to me anytime, baby.
If you'd like to take the grand tour. Mm. That's a great song.
The grand tour will head to more than 60 cities, Denver, next year, where he will perform several of his classic hits, including He Stopped Loving Her Today.
He said, I'll love you till I die. That's a great one.
And I Don't Need Your Rocking Chair.
I don't need your rocking chair.
And in addition, the Texan is expected to perform a few tunes from his upcoming album, which will include songs Dolly Parton is currently penning for her fellow country legend.
Oh.
There's Dolly Parton.
So he's going to wrap it up and hang it up, and we'll have to go see it. That was another one of my great stories somewhere along the line, is when my band, the Flapjacks, we got to open for George a few years ago.
It's the only time you've ever been starstruck.
Totally starstruck ever. To get to open for a legend like that and know that he was watching and judging you, because that's I don't know how these guys perform at the CMA Awards. You know, they get out there and they sing and perform knowing that every one of their peers is sitting there watching them.
And many of them have come out and said that they're nervous as heck. You know, George Strait's sitting there in the front row.
Mm-hmm.
And they grew up listening to George Strait. You know, George Jones is going to be playing in Branson.
Oh, that's too far away.
Okay. One of the dates is on your birthday. The other one is the day before we go to Hawaii.
In Branson, both times?
Mm-hmm. But no Colorado. How do you play Branson, Missouri and not Denver, Colorado?
I don't get it. I'm not happy with that.
He did not ask for your approval.
That's true. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yes.
This has been fun. Thanks for the little interview.
Yes.
And we'll have to do this again tomorrow.
Right.
Wrap it up. Take it home.
All right. God bless America. And go listen to some Oak Ridge Boys.
Giddy up. Pop, pop, mow, mow.
I bid you adieu. It came back to me.
See ya.
I went blank. You always do that.
In the basement of the mud flap house, flapping and poo, and they're under with the razor nose, and poo licks herself, and flap contemplates manly things. He thinks about guns and trucks and stooges three, men and boys.
eyes, and that doesn't sound right. He thinks about boobs and bacon and power tools. Come with me, let your mask you leave. Oh, won't you come with me and remind?